Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It's an on-again, off-again relationship between the American Red Cross and its unionized workers, as local workers went on strike last week, then went back to work days later. Although the underlying issues still remain to talk about where the organization and its workers now stand, I'm joined by Monica Stoneking, Communications Director for the American Red Cross Great Lakes Region. Thank you for joining me, Monica.
Well, thank you for having me.
So the OPEIU Local 459 and Teamsters Local 580 have given the Red Cross a notice of intent to strike at 9 a.m. on September 21st. This after the agreement that brought them back to work was that they would conduct 4 days of negotiations between September 17th and 20th. What's your reaction to this notice ahead of your negotiations even starting?
Well, again, the Red Cross is once again disappointed to have a third strike notice in 15 months. There's really no other word to describe it but disappointment. We had made progress on Friday. We welcomed our workers back, and we thought that we were moving forward, only to have hours later another notice hit us with an intent to strike Wednesday the 21st. And you got to notice that the date is the 21st. If we're scheduled to go into talks on the 17th, we're concerned that our union representatives are not going in with an open mind, willing to discuss and bring everything to the table if they're already intending to strike on the 21st.
Well, one thing to note is that these unions have been without a contract for years now. 4 days of negotiations, is that even enough to begin to look at the details involved in? And if so, what areas of the contract will likely be the focus of these negotiations?
Well, again, for the past 3 years, we have been able to go through their contracts and really pick apart everything. And the sticking point right now are health care benefits. We, a couple of years ago, went to a national Red Cross health care plan, and one of the options in that plan is to provide employee-only coverage, 90% employee-only coverage and 80% employee family coverage, which, again, is better than a lot of for-profit companies are offering their employees, and the unions have rejected that. Well, we can't offer up one insurance plan to one group of employees and not be able to offer it to another group of employees. So, again, that's a sticking point. It continues to be a source of contention, but we hope to talk that out in the upcoming negotiations. But it should also be noted that just in the past couple of days, the Red Cross has negotiated with other regions and have come to a resolution on two more contracts, offering up the same health care proposals.
What are local workers paying for their health insurance now, then?
I don't know the specific amounts, but they are part of a health care plan that does have phenomenal rates. And a couple of years ago, non-union staff members were also able to join this plan. It was the PHP plan. And they, when we went to a One Red Cross health care plan, the non-union staff members had to participate in this plan. The union members are able to still work with the PHP, and there are a couple of other options that they have as well. PHP is the only one I know off the top of my head. But again, the rates are fantastic, but non-union staff members were asked to make concessions. They have had to pay more for their health care premiums, so we're asking that the union members pay the same that our non-union members are paying.
I'm talking to Monica Stoneking, Communications Director for the American Red Cross Great Lakes Region. But what you're saying, Monica, is that there's really no room for negotiation because ultimately you have a national plan, it's in place, and the unions can either accept it or reject it. There's really no gray area there when it comes to this specific health insurance plan, right?
Right. I'm not part of national. That's why we bring in people from national from both sides. We have union representatives that are coming in from D.C. and national Red Cross representatives that are coming in that may be able to talk through a different option. I'm not at the negotiating table, so again, I can't talk specifics, but there may be room for movement on both sides. I don't know. I'm hoping so.
are wages in any way part of the negotiation? Are they likely to remain the same, or?
Wages have been, health care benefits and wages have been part of the negotiations for the past couple years as well. Our union representatives are demanding that our local union members get paid more than other union employees in other regions are getting paid. So again, when you look at the big picture and see that just since the beginning of the summer, the Red Cross nationally has been able to come to a resolution with other regions that have union employees, but the Great Lakes region is holding out, you have to wonder who's really being looked after. Are the union members really being communicated with? And why are the other regions not demanding such high wages?
Although a new contract, then would that result in the local union getting a reduced wage than what they're getting now?
No, we wouldn't reduce wages at all. I believe the negotiations, the talks are to increase their wages and to have union members get paid more than what. Comparing to other regions than what those union members get paid. So, no, we would not ask anybody to take a cut in their wages. However, if you factor in health care premiums and if they do have to pay more, I can see where union representatives would see that as a cut in wages. But we would not cut wages. It would just be an increased cost in the health care benefits.
Now, I know the American Red Cross brings in or can bring in workers from other areas in the case of a strike. How seriously and how concerned are you about an extended strike taking place, and how will the local organization continue working with workers being on strike?
Well, we're going to have to call in staff that are trained in the areas where we need them, and our blood collectors, the people that you see at the blood drives actually drawing the blood, those are our union members, and we can't hold blood drives without people filling those roles. But we can't bring in somebody else to take the place of a union member. So we will call on the help of other regions. We may have to ask other regions to increase their blood collections because we're part of a national organization. We have to maintain a healthy national blood supply so that our local hospitals can meet the needs of their patients. So there are contingency plans in place. We were able to hold a few blood drives last week when they went on strike. But we have to collect about 700 units of blood every day in the Great Lakes region to meet hospital demands just in our region alone. And when we have to decrease the number of units that we collect, say we're able to collect maybe 100 units of blood every day, well, where are we making up that 600 units of blood? So even if we don't see an increase in the need for blood, like if we experience another Hurricane Irene or another natural disaster where we tend to see an increase in the need for blood across the country, we won't have the ability to call on help from other regions because eventually, if the need remains constant, but you decrease the amount that you're collecting, it's just basic math, it's eventually going to hit zero. And that's our biggest concern. Our biggest concern is our patients that are at the hospitals. We don't want them to have to wait for blood products because we're not able to collect here in the Great Lakes region.
I see. Now, Red Cross, in terms of blood donations, does the Red Cross then sell the supplies to hospitals?
Do we sell blood to hospitals?
Yeah.
We have to because we are a nonprofit organization, but we're a cost recovery organization. So we have to be able to pay for our collection staff. We have to be able to pay for the transportation of the blood products, pay for the testing so that we do have safe blood products getting to the patients when they need it the most.
Let's see, in terms of the money the Red Cross brings in to operate, I mean, how much of it is brought in through financial donations as compared to services like this providing blood to hospitals?
The blood services side of the American Red Cross does not accept monetary donations. That's how we have to be a cost recovery organization and charge money for our blood products, so that we can pay our staff and pay for the appropriate testing. The Red Cross disaster services, all of our chapter services do depend on the generosity of our community financially, because they can't do the services, they can't provide the services that they provide without financial support. So all of the disaster relief, all of that stuff, it is important to note. None of that will be affected in the event of a strike. All of that will remain as is. So please continue to support your local chapters and the services that they provide. But yeah, if you are looking for a place to actually donate money, that would be our chapter services, because the blood services side cannot accept monetary donations.
Monica Stonekin, Communications Director for the American Red Cross, Great Lakes Region, ahead of the 4 days of negotiations set to begin on September 17th with their unionized workers. Hopefully we'll chat once that's completed to get an update. Thank you for joining me, Monica.
Well, thank you very much. And